I listen to the black guy who tips because Rod and Karen are hot.
Hey, welcome to another episode of the Blackout Tips Podcast. I'm your host, Rod, joined as always by my co-host,
Karen.
And we're live on what appears to be a Tuesday.
Yes.
Now, this is our last show of the week for the regular feed. Mm-hmm. I know we only did two, but I kind of enjoyed doing just two. But, so no show tomorrow. So just letting y'all know ahead of time.
Going the official to the 20s game.
We are going to the game.
Yay!
We'll see how it goes. Hopefully it's a good experience.
I hope so.
With our different seats away from people and mm-hmm. stuff. We'll see what happens.
We're going to be up in the box.
I don't think it's a box, but you'll see what I'm talking about when you get there. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
an unofficial sport,
bullet ball
extreme. And let's get right into the show. There's a lot of stuff to cover, but you know, just let me tell you this: leave us 5-star reviews.
Mm-hmm.
We like them, we love them, they make us feel good.
We do.
They help us on the iTunes charts. We're always reading them. As long as they're 5 stars and they're nice, we will read them. If you got some hateful shit to say, or you just don't think we deserve 5 stars, keep it. We don't need to hear from you.
Keep it.
But all
yourself.
The other people that enjoy these thousands of episodes and all this labor we're doing, I hope y'all leave us those 5-star reviews. I appreciate y'all to take the time out to do that.
And if you left one, redo it.
Yeah, if you left one, you can redo it and add more stuff, and we'll read it again. Okay, let's do the coronavirus segment.
Coronavirus.
Again? Look, here we go again. We got variants. Really need to keep a mask on hand and follow the plan. Get the vaccine and second shots, whether woman or man. Blackout who tips is doing their part, but the dummies expand. Niggas would rather believe a bunch of misinformation. Fuck y'all idiots not getting shots. Now we gotta regress. If we keep going in this direction, we never can rest. Never can get back to the lives we be living the best. Damn fool, stop the lying. Stop the intubation crying. Cause it's your fault that motherfuckers dying. Huh? Damn fool, stop the lying. Stop the ventilator crying, cause it's your fault that motherfuckers dying. I do not understand this shit. I'm not a fan of this. We were like one win from the pandemic championship. But fuckers wanna leave it to game 7 with Giannis Delta Kumpo blocking forward progression and Chris middle fingers to your plans, man. Damn. Looks like it's no Drew Holiday for you and your man. I'm sick of black people dying for real. So I'm just writing this new piece to let you know how I feel.
Coronavirus.
Yeah. Fuck that COVID-19. It's unseen. It's creeping in the air for you to breathe. Yeah. Huh. So fuck that COVID-19. It's unseen. It's creeping in the air for you to breathe. Yeah.
Coronavirus.
All right, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Coronavirus news. Stuff still happened since the last day. Pfizer asked U.S. officials to okay promising COVID-19 pill. Yeah, and I believe the U.S. already bought like 100,000 or something. Some crazy number.
Let's go.
Because some people won't take a shot. So
mm-hmm, cause they
maybe they'll take a pill.
Right, and they're trying to make it where it's literally going to be no excuse. That's why here's a pill. Here's something you can stick up your nose. You know, he is in cough syrup form, like the Tussin. Like, they go make it so you're to the point where you refuse and people can say, okay, I just don't care no more. Like, okay, you don't want to take the shot? Here's other methods. If you still say no to it, we just can't care no more.
The pill has been shown to significantly cut the rate of hospitalizations and deaths among people with coronavirus infections. The FDA is already reviewing a competing pill from Merck, and several smaller drug makers are also expected to seek authorization for their own antiviral pills in the coming months.
Come on, so it'd be cheaper too.
It's just what we need, unfortunately, yes. Because I think, I mean, even if you're vaccinated, you might need this pill if mm-hmm. you go out, you catch this, and then it's supposed to help you move through the stages faster and with less risk. So we'll see. I worry about the some of the right-wing reluctance. I worry about because, or just reluctance at this point, anyone who's left, I worry about them because a lot of them have glommed on to conspiracy theories.
Mm-hmm.
And
won't let them go.
Yeah, and something like this is prime for conspiracy because they'll find a way to like be like, you know, Pfizer made this pill, that's big pharma, and you still need to just take ivermectin, some vitamin D, and not worry about it, you know, that kind of shit where it's just like, okay, you know, I don't know how they're gonna switch it, but I just don't think, you know, I don't have full hope that this will change everything, but I hope it changes enough for some people.
I do. And I do have enough faith that for not, even if it's not a lot, a small percentage of people who are just afraid of the shot, and they don't want to admit they're afraid of the shot. Now, you do got some people, they are like, I'm conspiracy everything. We're not talking about them folks. We talk about the other people goes, I just don't like fucking shots. This is a good alternative for those people. And even if it's a small percentage, you're going to have some people that actually, this is the thing. You couldn't do it with lottery tickets. You couldn't do it with money. Nothing was going to make them move until it was something other than a shot.
Some of them, I hope you're right.
Mm-hmm. Mask, like I said, it might be a lot. It might not be a lot, but any number going up is a good thing to me.
I agree. Mask mandate must expire December 4th. Judge rules in latest twist. Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. So, and this is in Pennsylvania where they have mask rules for schools, K through 12, childcare facilities, until December 4th is when it's going to, expire. Although this will probably be challenged. So this judge says December 4th, you gotta stop. Now, I don't know what's so arbitrary about December 4th. And I also don't know why people are trying to stop these mask mandates when the winter is coming. Everyone's going inside. Every other place that's colder than us that has had issues with this virus has had numbers going up because people went inside because it's cold.
Right.
I really don't understand what the point would be. And honestly, I wonder if it would do a disservice to some of these businesses. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm going to the gym, they have a mask mandate in place right now for X amount of people being in the gym. And then some judge rules, fuck that. I don't know. I probably would be like, I guess I won't go to the gym. It's not like I'll go, well, let me take my mask off. You know, that's the, like, I'm sure what they're going to say is, it's optional. They're not going to stop you from wearing a mask. But if I walk in the grocery store and I'm the only nigga with a mask on, it's going to make me feel like maybe I shouldn't be in here. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. And I, in my opinion, they're doing this bullshit right before Christmas. Cause that's the thing, and what people gonna do? People gonna get in, breathing each other's faces, exchange gifts for Christmas, all up in the house, all up in the heat, and then next thing you know, our numbers are gonna fucking jump.
Well, that's getting to Christmas. I'm saying, hopping on the plane to go to Christmas. Airports, can they still have mask mandates? You know what I mean? Is it private businesses will be able to still have it, but you can't, you know, the government can't tell people, hey, this type of group needs to have a mask because there's 1,000 of you at this concert. You know, it's kind of just interesting. And I don't understand what the ruling means, but in a 4-1 ruling last week, Commonwealth Court sided with a legal challenge to make the masking order that took effect early September amid rising coronavirus cases and concerns about the surge of the Delta variant. The judges agreed with the challenges. The state law did not explicitly allow acting health secretary Allison Beam to order a mask mandate to contain the disease. The state never created a regulation under the state's disease control law to allow it. So we'll see. They're saying they will return authority to local school districts, which if you live in a metropolitan area with a lot of black and brown people, you'll probably be okay. If you have a Democratic area, you'll probably be okay. But some of these jurisdictions, especially for families who move outside of cities to avoid taxes and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Some of those families have moved to red places.
Yes, they
have. And we are dealing with that right now in our area. Charlotte, the city, mask for schools. Not even question. Mayor, you know, all that stuff. No problem. You move literally 20 to 30 minutes outside of Charlotte and it's immediately like, we don't want no mask. Fuck that shit.
What's a mask?
Like, we moved out here because we Republican and we hate niggers anyway, and now y'all want to bring that nigger law up in here? I don't think so. I want my kid to die. Fuck it.
Literally, that's what you're saying. And it's one of those things where I think a lot of who's in these positions matter. And the thing is, okay, you reverse this, numbers go up. Are y'all gonna put it back in place again, or are you just gonna say fuck it? Like, yeah. You know, like my thing is, this is something that actually needs to continue until, you know, it's under somewhat control. But, you know, people have such short-term memory, that's why it goes up and down. And like I said, I've given up that control because to me, it made no sense to kind of lighten up certain rules in the first place because I was like, oh, the coronavirus is still out there, bitch. but because people are people and Americans and everybody's impatient and everybody wants the shit to be over, do you go out there and rush to, you want to rush to the finish line without doing the work to actually prepare to get there? And then when the coronavirus was like, you thought, and everybody was like, oh, put your mask back on again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I worry about it, because what'll happen is, individually, as these mask mandates come and go and back and forth in people's jurisdictions, I'm worried that you're gonna see people say shit like, this is the CDC's fault and then they need to make up their mind. And when it's literally been, it's your jurisdiction. Right. The CDC has never had a mask mandate. They can't. Mm-mm. They can't enforce it. Mm-mm. It's always been local jurisdictions. They make recommendations, but local jurisdictions enforce or choose not to enforce that shit. And so you'll see now, we'll probably go through, the numbers are going down. This is happening in our city right now. Mm-hmm. If they can get, I want to say, either 5 or 10 consecutive days of less than 5% transmission in the general population of Charlotte, North Carolina, they will repeal the mask mandates. Okay, so how many days above that do we have to have before it's like, we shouldn't have did that? Because obviously, you repeal the mask mandate, numbers probably go back up. Mm-hmm. Numbers go back up. What's the number for everybody gotta put the mask back on? Mm-hmm. And once they've taken it off, are they gonna be like the people, the let's say 60% of people that are wearing, 75% of people that are wearing it now, once they take it off, are they like, fuck it? How do you get the word out that it's back? You know, the companies that are like, nah, we still want you to wear a mask in here. What are they doing? It's a lot of stuff out there, that, mm-hmm. a lot of moving parts, but it's going to be kind of like this for a while, because I think we're living with this thing for a while. Mm-hmm. And there's never been a medicine that was 100% anything, never been a vaccine that was 100% anything. So I think we're living with this for a while, and we'll see what happens.
Yes. And even with some of the other diseases that, you know, because of vaccines are like close to zero or possibly eradicated, some of this shit stuck around for a few years before it actually, you know, worked its way through and all that shit. Like, it just, these things just don't disappear.
Well, even in the case, even in those cases, it was 100%. It's like how people said, the first anti-vaccine wave, which was like measles and mumps and shit, and people's like, I don't need it. And then measles and mumps came back in their areas because enough people in California was like, I ain't taking mm-hmm. no vaccines for this. I'm not vaccinating my kids.
Then they're like, so shit, it fucks kids up. Yes, bitch, that's why we had the vaccines.
Yeah, so there's nothing at 0%, and you know, when it comes to risk, but people won't even try to get it down. Albany, New York, I believe their governor, Kathy, I want to say it's Hochul, but I hope I said that right. She says there will be more COVID-19 protocols if the numbers don't go down.
Come on. That's why I was born in Albany, and Albany's not a big state, a big area, and Albany's like up way up north, and it's, you know, it's one of those things when the smaller cities where it's a little different, they can just be like, hey dog, these are the rules, take it or leave it.
Yeah, she basically said the numbers don't go, they're starting to rise a little bit. People are vaccine holdouts. At some point, if we don't start on a downward trend, we're going to have to talk about larger protocols. I truly hope the community at large will listen to this, because it doesn't have to be this way.
No, because then you run the risk of your hospitals being full, and you're stressing out your hospital staff, and you're short at your nurses. Like, it is nothing to play with. And the people that are out here acting like it's not a big deal, they are not looking at these numbers. You're talking about people who every day, somebody does an Excel spreadsheet every day to give them these numbers. And so these numbers matter to these people, because it's about your safety as a populace.
Yeah, they just had a 9% tick up of people in the hospital. Obviously, the majority of people in the hospital are unvaccinated. And then they've also plateaued with the numbers since August, which is huge, because Delta came through in other places that weren't New York and had the numbers off the scales for, you know, like jump back up in September and October specifically, and they never experienced it. And I don't think it's a coincidence that the places that are taking this seriously, with leadership that takes it seriously, are the ones that aren't experiencing these huge spikes. And it's weird and sad that like a judge can just throw out something that is seriously saving the public and cutting down on the public health risk by just being like, I don't like it.
Yeah, what's even more fucked up is that let's say 75 to 80% of the populace wants this. Well, then just go ahead and do it. It's like, it makes no sense for you to go for the 10 to 15%. You're catering towards a fucking small percentage. Most of the people want mandates. Most of the people, you know, want to be safe. You know, they want the mask in school. The bulk of the populace does.
DC's indoor mask mandate is ending on Monday. DC's a place I've had my eye on because the last time I checked, which has been about a month ago, there was some like stretch of time for like a month or something where everybody who died from COVID-19 in DC was black except one person.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just sad because, you know, you hear people and this, you know, there's nothing we can do, and it's basically like, hey, that's their choice, and then you're constantly losing people
right
to this shit, and nobody can say anything, and now they're just gonna be like, fuck it, we're taking away the mask mandate. Now she's mayor Bowser has warned, this is not Ollie Ollie Oxen Free, take your mask off. It's you know we're not gonna be targeting this as the government anymore. Private businesses that want a mask requirement, you still gotta wear a mask. Public transit like buses and trains, inside train stations and airports and rideshare vehicles, gotta wear a mask. Mm-hmm. Inside schools, childcare facilities, libraries, gotta wear a mask.
Right.
Congregate facilities such as nursing homes, assisted living, shelters, dorm residencies, and correctional facilities, gotta wear a mask. And government buildings where there's direct interaction with employees like the DMV and stuff, you gotta wear a mask.
Right.
But there's gyms that are like, cool, we ain't trying to get no mask, and we ain't gonna, and we can't wait for the mandate to end.
Yeah, and a lot of times that's how the rules be. They don't, nobody, most of these rules aren't fuck it, the mask. Very, very few places are like, fuck a mask.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, you can wear a mask outside. Like, there's still restrictions, but like you say, people go, once they take their mask off, they're like, I'm not wearing this mask anywhere, period. I'm not putting it on, taking it off. They was like, when it come off, it's off for good.
And it's interesting because for the fans of the Wizards, they will no longer require a mask unless you're close to players.
Like here in Charlotte.
Well, in Charlotte, no, they require a mask everywhere right now.
No,
but you got to be vaccinated to be close to players.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So it's interesting that even, because to me, the mask is not the vaccine mandate. You know, the vaccine mm-hmm. makes more sense than even the mask, mm-hmm. but, you know, a combination of both is what doctors are recommending right now. And to see the places like the NBA arenas go, well, yeah, around the players. And I'm like, well, that's kind of an admission that everybody should be doing it.
Right.
Like, because if you're saying around the players, what you're really saying is, well, we don't want the least amount of risk possible to our players. That's the product. Okay, so fuck everybody else.
Right. And a lot of times which I can understand, the NBA leads it. They're like, look, every city we have these arenas have their own jurisdiction, so we're going to abide by their jurisdictions. But, you know, I don't know if the NBA could do this. They was like, yeah, if you come inside our arena, we don't care where you are, this is our arena. Mm-hmm. Like, fucking be vaccinated. And this would just eliminate all the bullshit.
The thing I will say, though, DC is highly vaccinated as a place. 88.6% of all DC residents 18 and older have got at least one dose.
That's pretty
98.5% of those 65 and older have got at least one dose. So there's not this huge amount of holdouts. I totally, you know, Charlotte, North Carolina as a city, as a state, we like 50-something, 60-something%. I totally get why it's data driven. I don't think Mayor Bowser is just out here like freestyling.
No,
but it is, you know, it is to me what the message is saying at this point is the people who got vaccinated, the people that did the right thing, are ready to move on.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep emphasizing this because I know there's people that listen that may not be vaccinated, that you know, for whatever reasons, if it's not a medical health reason, I you know, if it is, I understand. But people that are just holding out, there's a point where people are gonna be like, I don't care about the risk to you anymore.
Mm-mm.
So if this means that all these vaccinated people are passing it around back and forth, but they don't need to go to the hospital, they don't need to worry about, you know, too many long-term things, which I, you know, I'm not saying you should feel that way, but the numbers are the numbers. The risk is very mitigated for vaccinated people. If they're sitting there like, fuck it, I don't know what you do about that.
Mm-mm.
Other than go get vaccinated, because it sounds like they're people just ready to move on.
Yeah, that, and people hear these numbers when they go, like, oh, the people in the hospital aren't vaccinated with them, fuck them, I'm vaccinated, so, you know, I'm taking off my mask and I don't care. And, you know, them people are, they're almost the opposite of a lot of the Republicans as far as, I'm taking off my mask, I don't care, and I'm not vaccinated. They go, I'm vaccinated and I don't care. So when you have two large populations that don't care and you're in the middle going, I don't know, you're like, it ends up impacting you more than any other group.
Let's see, a South Florida teacher who sued for ivermectin dies from COVID.
You don't say.
Yep. Tamara Drop died Friday, 12 weeks after being admitted to Palm Beach Gardens Medical Center. A Florida teacher hospitalized with COVID-19 has died after her husband unsuccessfully sued to force the doctors to treat her with ivermectin, a drug popular among some skeptics of accepted coronavirus treatments despite a lack of studies proving its effectiveness. She died Friday, 12 weeks after being admitted to the hospital. He sued the hospital last month in an attempt to require doctors to administer ivermectin, a drug used to treat conditions caused by parasitic worms. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration has not approved the drug to treat COVID-19. They rejected the lawsuit last month, saying allowing judges to countermand doctors' decisions could set a dangerous precedent. He urged the Droxon Hospital to try to reach an agreement of their own. A deal fell apart after the doctor agreed to administer ivermectin at a dosage the family attorney said was too low. Tenet Healthcare, which owns the hospital, yes, Karen.
It's too low. He don't want to give it to you at all.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. These message boards and shit have come up with this like formula. You know how everybody calls Joe Rogan to get his cocktail of drugs, but it's essentially come up with this formula of saying like, yeah, it needs to be this much ivermectin per how many pounds you weigh, blah, blah, blah. And if, I guess the doctors were like, we're not giving you that much. That's crazy.
We ain't trying to kill
and
you.
And she was like, the deal fell apart, you know? What I think is interesting here, and I think it should be say enough on its own. You've been wrong at every fucking step. And where did it bring you? To the doctors you mocked, to the doctors you derided, to the healthcare system you claim ain't shit, that's where it brought you. You could have went and got you some ivermectin from some farm or some shit.
You sure could have and took it yourself.
You know, you could have did that, but you didn't do that. You went to the fucking hospital because you were scared to die.
Right.
And then once you get there, you think it's a fucking a la carte where you can just tell the hospital like, yeah, man, go ahead and give me some Vicks Vapor Rub. Let me get some cough drops. Like, that's not how this works.
Give me some of that Tussin. They'll be like, ma'am, you could have bought that over the counter. The fuck you doing in here?
The husband was also infected, but recovered from COVID. He told the Post he's not giving up. He's over. I hope they name a law after her so no one has to go through this. If she had walked out of hospital, she could have had the medication. So I don't know.
What that statement makes no fucking sense. She died means. In the hospital. So what do you mean she could have walked out?
Yeah.
She may have died regardless of what they gave her. So, I mean.
Yeah. Rest in peace. Some people think super colds are coming back.
What is a super cold?
I guess it's like a cold that makes you a little sicker than normal or spreads, you know, faster and all this stuff. So people are like, oh no, super colds are here. But super colds are not spreading. People have forgotten how to fight viruses. Infectious disease experts say because we've been in the house and none of us have gotten sick as much as a sniffle probably for a year or so. So you ain't had no cold.
Mm-hmm. And wearing your mask, your immune system's like, the fuck is this?
Right. So you ain't had a cold to even worry about that shit. Right?
Well, before, like I said, when we out in public, I don't hear people coughing. I rarely hear people coughing. I don't hear people really sneezing. You don't hear the clean of the throats. Like that sound is almost irrelevant now. And a lot of it is because, like you said, we're protecting ourselves from that shit that kind of just floats in the air when people cough in and shit in the work and in the office space. And you know, if people catch a cold now, it's from a kid or somebody like directly around you. It ain't gonna be because you out in public.
Study finds that 37% of COVID patients suffer at least one long lasting symptom.
Oh no!
Yeah. Yeah, they're trying to get a hand on this long COVID stuff, but they said they did a study of how many people? They looked at the health records of 273,618 COVID-19 survivors over 6 months. So this ain't no bullshit study. The researchers found that 37% of patients had one or more long COVID symptoms beyond the 3 month mark and 1.5 times more likely than with the flu.
Oof.
They also said some long COVID patients reported not suffering from a symptom in the first 3 months, but then later mm-hmm. it came up. Some of the ones that they had, and they have percentages next to them: abnormal breathing, 18.71%. In the 180 day period, that's 6 months.
Ooh.
And then 7.9% in the 90 to 180 day period. So that's like if you may not have experienced it for 90 days and then you start having abnormal breathing.
Yeah, and also it's one of those things, it's like you said, it's like building an airplane while you're in the air. Nobody really knows how long haul is. So, you know, they testing people, then they're gonna go back 6 months to a year and test them again. They're gonna go back another 6 months to a year and test them again. Like, nobody knows what long haul is. What's the long and long haul? Like, nobody knows right now.
Number two, fatigue, 12% and 6%. The second number is, like I said, 90 days of not experiencing it, and then you experienced it after that. So you thought you was over COVID and then you start feeling fatigued.
So 90 days, 30, so 3 months you're good, and all of a sudden you're like, what the fuck
yeah,
is this?
Yeah. Chest throat pain, 12.6%, 5.7%.
Ooh.
Headache, 8.6%, 4.63%. Other pain, which is like 12% and 7%.
Oh shit, just the other. Yeah. Just something hurting.
Abdominal pains, 16% and then 8-something%.
Oh no.
Myalgia, I'm not sure what myalgia is. I have to look this up.
Tell me what that is. This is a vocabulary.
I know Karen can't wait to tell us how much she don't know about it.
I'm just saying.
It's muscle aches and pains.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Cognitive symptoms, 7.8%, at 3.9%, and then anxiety and depression, which was 23% and about 15.5%. That's high.
Ooh. Yeah, because all of a sudden your body not doing what it normally should. That would get to you.
Not just that, but I mean, it may affect your brain. You may have the, like, these things brain like fog. Depression, anxiety, bipolar, it's chemical stuff with your brain.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just, you know, I was sad today. It's like your brain is telling you to feel sad or feel anxious, and you really can't control it on your own. You know, that's why medication often works, is because it's changing the chemistry in your body. So yeah, that's super scary. You know, mm-hmm. to think, you know, 22% of people that got COVID, and especially long haul you might end up with depression or anxiety. Like, wow. Deadly COVID-19 spike at the church event is unfortunate but part of God's plan, says pastor.
Mm-mm.
Would have loved to be there for their would love to be there for that sermon. Pastor at Nova Scotia Church that hosted an event linked to COVID-19 spike and 3 deaths told parishioners this week that what happened is unfortunate, but it's all part of God's plan.
Mm-mm.
God's plan. Robert Smith, the pastor at Gospel Light Baptist Church in Amherst, Nova Scotia, held his first in-person service in 3 weeks on Sunday and live streamed video of his sermon on Facebook. The video was later taken down. Wonder why.
Right.
At the end of October, Smith's church hosted a multi-day gathering of faith groups from across the province. Public health officials said more than 100 people attended and were not asked to show proof of vaccination, which is a violation of public health orders. I followed what God wanted us to do, Smith said from the pulpit. We had a great week of meetings. A young lady got saved.
Take these fines.
And then three people got killed. It was worth it. I always say, well, one is saved, three should die.
Oh, no!
That's God's plan, Karen. Three people have died in the past week of COVID-19. One at a group home in Amherst and two at a long-term patient, at a long-term care in Nova Scotia. And the province has said that those cases trace back to the Gospel Light event. Community spread in Nova Scotia's northern and western health zones is primarily associated with that event. Damn.
Probably because it must be a small, like, the populace must not be that big.
I don't give a damn how big it is. That fucking event is responsible for the primary amount of
You need to be held accountable.
Well, he said God told him to do it. Mm-hmm. And just like that man who got accused of scamming yesterday because his God told him to take the money and save people from bed snakes, I just don't see how you can put this man in jail. The number of hospitalizations and people in intensive care with COVID-19 has jumped in the recent days, prompting Premier Tim Houston to say Monday that he is very upset and concerned. Several times throughout his 30-minute sermon, white people, Smith said people are trying to shame his community, but he urged his parishioners to resist internalizing the feeling, saying it's Satan trying to drag us down. The Bible says all things work together for good. Hey, some of the things people that we know that's in hospitals and stuff, that still applies too, he said. Think he's trying to say that them being in the hospitals is good. I like how and stuff is doing a lot of heavy lifting for three people died.
I'm trying to roll past that, right?
And stuff. The people that's in hospitals and stuff and dead is what he meant.
I guess he said I didn't die.
He didn't respond to requests for interviews.
I know he didn't.
They said about 70% of the religious community that attended last night's event was fully vaccinated, and that the community has been cooperative with contact tracing and testing. Proof of vaccination is not required at regular religious services such as Gospel Light Sunday church service, but it is required at any other event hosted by faith groups such as Gospel Light's work week of meetings. Masking is mandatory at religious services. As of Monday, the police have not laid any charges. Well, how can you? God told them to do it. It's a couple weeks ago that they did this event. So it takes about 2 weeks sometimes for people to start dying and shit.
Showing symptoms. Yep.
The pastor in the church that organized the event, they did everything that could be done. Lake said in the interview, that's
we could do this. All this shit could have been virtual. We could have all been on Zoom. What the fuck you talking about?
Brandon Lake is a pastor of Amazing Grace Baptist Church. We were operating within the guidelines that we were available to the public. That meanwhile they broke the law. He said the public health did not make the rules around the proof of vaccination requirements clear until after the gathering.
I don't believe that. Y'all just did what the fuck y'all wanted to. Yeah, these rules be really, really clear. People just don't want to abide by them.
He said meetings like this. Well, you know, I'm going to have to defend these guys a little bit. That rule is stupid as shit. You can go to regular Sunday church and don't need vaccinations, but then if they hold like a church meeting, you do. How does that make any fucking sense?
It don't.
It's not like the coronavirus is like, oh, it's the holy day.
Like it picks and chooses when it shows up.
So I can understand if they legitimately were confused as to like, why the fuck do we don't need this any other time? Why we need it now? Now, obviously on a science and health level, it's riskier to do a week of meeting in person compared to one day, duh. But they should be doing any meeting in person without vaccinations and masks. They shouldn't be allowed to do that shit. Mm-hmm. I don't give a fuck what your faith is. What's your faith got to do with that? It's nothing. Science. Ugh. Stupid. People dying for nothing.
For nothing.
And last story, Guthrie audience members pre-show rant delays opening night for A Christmas Carol.
Oh, you fucking up the Christmas Carol?
Yeah. Because, you know, theaters are opening and people are doing things. People are getting vaccinated. Theaters might require a mask or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so they're putting on this play for the first time, I want to say, in like a year or something like that. Yeah, 2 years, 600 yeah. days.
Yeah, a lot of stuff been shut down since 2019.
Right. So this is the first time in 600 days that they've been able to do theater. Mm-hmm. And this woman got up there and started ranting before they could start the show.
Here's what he WCCO4 News. I'm Amelia Santinello. Former Minnesota Senator Al Franken says his political days may not be over. What? Here's what he told CBS.
This is not the art. God damn it, I hate when they do this. Anyway, I'll play this.
Oh, my Christmas Carol thing is to get out of a Christmas Carol. Get out of my country.
Boo! Boo!
I thought she was British.
You ruined my night at the play.
I thought she was British.
She said, you ruined my night at the play?
She was also moving.
You can
tell
me to stop talking.
Now, this rant is supposedly about not wearing masks and vaccines.
And that's why this is here. They're mocking Shakespearean drama while they watch an English play around. Losers. Losers, all of you. You don't know what that is. That man! That man!
Get her out of here.
Unless she's waiting for the cops. Man, white people got it good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she definitely like, she talking too long. They'd have been like, nigger, shut up.
Right. Get out, nigger, beat it.
They'd have had her hands behind her back and marched her black ass out of there.
I like how she ran out of stuff to talk about. So then some people just got up and started leaving.
Right, because she's breathing the coronavirus all over my head. I'm leaving too.
Yeah, and they said they think maybe the staff asked her to wear a mask, but it was right as the lights were dimming to start the show, and then we all heard yelling, and it went crazy for like 40 minutes after that.
40 minutes?
Two people in front of her took a selfie during the curtain speech. The director told people to put phones away and keep masks on. This made her very angry. She decided to take her mask off because they were also breaking the rules. And this song said, I'm so shaken by what happened before A Christmas Carol at the Guthrie Theater tonight. A woman who was clearly mentally unwell threw a fit about masks and was screaming and yelling racist slurs and delayed the show about a half hour. Yeah, where does the racism always come up?
Right! Get what out, they, my country. She was just wilding out up there.
What they got to do with the mask exactly, ma'am?
Mm-hmm.
I have a problem with these masks and niggers! Niggers! He's like, ma'am, this is, come on.
I didn't realize that the mask made you racist.
It's hard to breathe and they can't see me say Porch Monkey. They gotta read. They can't read my lips.
They can't read my lips up underneath this mask.
Oh man,
they can't get these slurs.
Let's get into some other news. Let's do some LGBTQ news. Don't forget about the loud sound, Karen.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see what you want to be. You better move your body, you better move your feet, and I want to groove. Show me what's cool. Ride and Karen, baby. LGBTQ news.
Trying to take us down, but we still around.
We lit. We lit.
Trying to style and shine, but we on the ride.
We lit. We lit.
Come on. Can't do what we're about to do.
We lit. We lit.
LGBTQ news.
Woo! All right, let's talk about this LGBTQ news going around. It's mostly sad and depressing, but some of it's okay. Let's see. LGBTQ plus organization forgives DaBaby but still on the fence about Dave Chappelle. The LGBTQ plus community seems to have moved past the ignorant comments made by DaBaby, but it's still side-eyed Dave Chappelle. Well, in all fairness, it has been more time and DaBaby shut the fuck up. You know, I don't think, and this is probably just my personal view of the world, and maybe it's an old school view, but I don't think people are necessarily expecting everyone to be on their side when they're in a marginalized group. I think everyone knows shit wouldn't be so fucked up if everybody was on their side or capable of being on their side. That's not possible. But, and maybe it's just me as a black person, and maybe there's some type of privilege speaking or whatever, but I would enjoy you shutting the fuck up and not doing the stuff that fucks with my people.
Mm-hmm. That's all.
Like, I can't really make you truly in your heart of hearts understand equality and love and acceptance and tolerance and all those other buzzwords.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it.
But could you just leave me out of it?
Yep, just leave me alone. That's all I ask.
Yeah, I don't think that's hard to ask.
Yeah, I don't care how we get there. Like I said, on some things, I just don't care no more. I don't care if you do it out of kindness. I don't care if you have consideration. I don't care if you do it because the law said you got to do it. I don't give a fuck. Yeah. The end result is leave me alone.
You know, I don't know if that's a generational thing. Maybe that is, you know, maybe because, like, you know, millennials and stuff have been told, like, your feelings are the most important. That's what matters from their generation before them and stuff. And so, and I don't, you know, I don't think that's wrong, but I think it makes the values different.
Mm-hmm.
And so my values are more like, leave me the fuck alone. I don't care how you feel about it and don't tell me.
Right.
And I think a lot of the new age stuff is leave me alone for the right reasons, or be an ally and I'll consider you good. And if I consider you good, there's a value to that, and yeah, you should want that. And I'm just on some, like, I will accept happily without feeling bad about it at all. You just shutting the fuck up and leaving me out of whatever the fuck your problem is.
That's all. Like I said, and that is a generational difference, because like I said, it's a lot of shit I've just given the fuck up on. I do not care. What is the results? Is the results? I'm free. Bitch, let's go. I don't care how we get there. I don't care if you got to be pushed. You got to be shoved. I don't care if you came on your own. And like I said, I don't care if you're doing it because you don't want to motherfucking get arrested. I don't give a shit. The end result is you leaving me alone. I am fine with the result.
So Relationship Unleashed, which is a nonprofit that offers support to black members of the LGBTQ plus community, believes that the rock star rapper grew from his harmful remarks toward marginalized people and those living with HIV/AIDS. He's learned a lot over the past few months. Relationship Unleashed CEO Gwendolyn D. Clemens said to TMZ. She believes that his hateful Rolling Loud rant was rooted in ignorance, but maintains that he was not aware of the magnitude of his rant. Following the backlash and being dropped from several music festivals, the baby met with over 100 organizations and LGBTQ plus leaders to get educated on how the incident was harmful to many. I would love to sit in them meetings and just be like, let me see what this nigga gonna say. However,
I did not said anything. I just let him talk.
Yeah, I mean, kiss the ring then. However, in terms of Dave Chappelle, who was facing controversy following his recent Netflix special, The Closer, Clemens says the comedian has not shown any remorse for jokes that he made during the stand-up. In fact, the veteran comic has doubled down on them and says he will not apologize. So, yeah, we'll see. But it's interesting that people can forgive the baby so fast, you know, because it has been relatively quick. He said that shit this year, like not mm-hmm. too many months ago. Mm-hmm. Lil Nas X on the baby Rolling Loud controversy. I'm not gonna lie, I feel bad. He did an interview and he touched on the controversy over the baby's homophobic statements made during his performance at Rolling Loud Miami. I'm not gonna lie, I feel bad for the baby, told Jeremy O'Harris. I hope he grows from it. I hope he's able to, but I don't know. The whole landscape is very hyper-masculine. It's so great and so amazing. All these female rappers are breaking through, though, and in a way, female rappers are the biggest rappers right now. I think that's another thing, too, with him being the it guy. And Chappelle gets this a lot, too. People don't want him to be homophobic and shit. Gay people want to like his comedy.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be included in the like room that gets to laugh and not the room that gets laughed at. And a lot of people are ignoring that they're never going to be laughed at by Dave Chappelle in that type of way. And they make it seem like, oh, he just does it to everybody, but he doesn't. As a black man, I never felt uncomfortable. A straight black dude, I have never felt uncomfortable listening to Dave Chappelle because I was going to be targeted with some jokes. Never. Like, it's not going to happen. So, cause he doesn't make those jokes. People go, he jokes on everybody. No, he doesn't. Not really black people as like black men as and black people as a whole. He doesn't do that. Mm-mm. I think there's people that want to feel kind of that way or whatever, and maybe that's the same thing with the baby. You know, I always make that joke, the baby's not an intersectional feminist. Mm-mm. Because a lot of the people that want to like him are and so they try to make it seem like he's not that bad. It's like, I don't know, man, like he just not on the same shit y'all on, you know. And just because you can like him because of charisma or funniness or whatever, and still have to be like, yeah, but he doesn't necessarily agree with me. So anyway, I think a lot of people feel bad to have to hold these quote-unquote grudges or really hold these people in their feelings accountable or whatever, but I don't know what you're supposed to do about it. These niggas ain't going nowhere, you know. Mm-mm. Speaking of which, Dave Chappelle's alma mater reportedly calls off a fundraiser that would have named a new theater after him after he donated like $100,000 or some shit to them. And the school's student was like, new.
Yeah, they don't want to be bothered. Like you said, it's a generational thing. They don't care. They're like, no, we don't care. We don't care who it came from. We seen the comedy and we don't like it. And you've basically told us, you know, in general, that you don't care. So why should we care about this money you gave us?
They were going to do a walkout, the students, and the school just chose to cancel the fundraising event.
Yeah, because it wouldn't have been worth the chaos.
Yeah, and I think also, like, you talking about an art school, a lot of these kids is gay.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking arts. Gay people love the arts, they're good at it. Like, what the fuck? It's just hard to walk the line that Dave Chappelle thinks he's walking. This, yeah, I say mean and bigoted things, but those are just jokes. But also, take this money and name this school after me, and every day you walk in, you gotta look up at the Dave Chappelle bust or whatever the fuck. After I just said, because I'm not gonna stop, by the way, after I just said some more shit and told you just deal with it. And when your classmates or people in your life say the same things to you, I get to be like, nope, that's not they got nothing to do with me. The shit you experiencing, they ain't got nothing to do with me. Even if they repeat my jokes, even if they say it's just jokes, that has nothing to do with me. I'm not responsible for anything. And it's gonna be hard for them kids to reconcile with that. These kids are not like us.
Mm-mm.
I could have driven down and walked into a racist street, school, building every day of my life, and I would have not have ever thought about changing it. I'm not saying that's a good thing,
right?
I actually think that's a bad thing. Mm-hmm. It never occurred to me this was a possible thing. It was like, well, that's an institution, and the James K. Polk building is older than I am,
right?
I never thought I should Google what James K. Polk, he owns slaves, man, fuck this nigga, take this shit down. These kids are like that now. Mm-hmm. and the people that worship Chappelle are old now.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about people that really look up to him, you ain't heard nobody but old dudes and 40-50 year old people. 35, you know, might be the youngest age of people that mm-hmm. really look up to that dude like that.
After that, a lot of old, they go, who is this old nigga everybody yeah. complaining about? We don't know him.
He's not this generation's god like that.
Mm-mm.
So I'm not surprised by these, you know, kids being like, man, fuck that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think that's
like,
interesting.
It's my, and you know what, just like y'all be like, Red Fox is my, you know, grandpas and older people, they look like Dave Chappelle. That's my mama and daddy's comedy. This is not their comedy.
And especially when he's doing old man yelling at the sky comedy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, which is,
so yes. The kids wouldn't even be into that. That's not what the kids find funny now is not that shit. They not into this.
They doing TikTok somewhere. They don't care nothing about that old man.
Yeah. Lauren Boebert shows her support for Dave Chappelle in just one word. Yeah, she called him a boss. When he said that shit about he loves being canceled, she quote tweeted that article and called him a boss. Now she is a Republican and a horrible person.
Okay. I was like, is boss another slang? Like, but you just talking about like boss.
Yeah, just like, okay. Like Beyonce, she's a boss.
Okay. I have to ask now, because sometimes the most common words be slang now.
Well, she's a Republican conservative. She wouldn't be she wouldn't be up on the slang, Karen. This is a racist white woman that does it.
She ain't stealing it like they stole woke. I just want to be sure. Now, mm-hmm. You never know.
All right. Well,
I don't keep on.
I know you love not telling. You love to not know. I know. It's your favorite thing. So yeah, he.
I think you make it into a running joke, sir.
It's not a running joke. Just the truth. Anytime you don't know something, you love to talk about how much you don't know about it.
Because I'm old and black, deal with it.
I know. I've been dealing with it for a long time. but yeah, so she thinks he's a boss. Let's talk more about Lauren Boebert. She compares trans healthcare to grafting aborted babies to lab rats.
What?
This is supporter of Dave Chappelle. She has introduced a bill in the House to block research into gender affirming treatments for transgender youth, claiming that trans youth are sexualized and used for horrific sexual work research when given life saving puberty blockers and calling transitioning genital mutilation. Her bill, the Protecting Our Kids from Harmful Research Act.
Boy, they love them names. It's the opposite of what it really is, right?
Would block federal funds from being used to fund research or publications relating to gender transition in individuals under the age of 18. She specifies that even observational studies of teens who are getting puberty blockers already are included in the proposed ban. Now, this won't pass. It doesn't have the numbers. Mm-hmm. She's stunting on purpose. Mm-hmm. But this is a lawmaker. This is a person of influence. The fact that people think what Chappelle stands for is harmless and people like her are telling you it's not should say something to you. And it's sad that it don't. It's sad that it don't. Because I can't make you see the truth any more than the fucking truth in your fucking face. You know what I'm saying? It's like if we were saying something on this show and then all of a sudden Fox News started using clips of our show. And I wouldn't back off and clarify. I wouldn't be like, hey, no, I'm not with them. No, I fuck that shit then. I ain't mean it like that. The fact that it's still like silence when it comes to that part, but he got all the smoke for these motherfuckers on like LGBTQ people on Twitter and shit that don't like what he said. He got all the smoke to address them, but these motherfuckers got his back and it's nothing. He's one of them now. He hang out with them. He kick it with them. It's sad, man. Like, people keep talking about being disappointed in Kanye. I'm surprised more people don't feel that way about Dave. You know, maybe it's because he's can use the comedian label to be like, no, none of this counts. But I don't know. The people that do these horrible things to trans kids in real life think it counts.
Mm-hmm.
They count it as a win for their side. I don't know how people cannot. I don't know how you ignore that shit, man, but okay. So yeah, she's a horrible person. And apparently a fan of Dave. Probably was not a fan of any of his race stuff that he talked about for years, but loves this somehow.
Apparently so.
Let's see what else happened. This is a horrible story. Bullies forced a trans teen to expose himself in the bathroom. Police refused to do anything. Students at Berlin High School in Berlin, Wisconsin walked out of class to protest the police and school response after their transgender classmate reported being sexually assaulted multiple times in the boys' bathroom earlier this month. The student, who has remained anonymous, said other boys cornered him in the bathroom and forced him to lift up his shirt and pull down his pants. He said this isn't the first time he was attacked, but that he was afraid to come forward at first. After he finally reported the bullying to the school, which contacted the police concluded that no assault had taken place. After multiple interviews and examining the associated evidence of the alleged assault, our investigation discovered no physical assault or attack against the alleged victim took place. Police are now reportedly investigating another alleged assault these students say took place. This time, he says it includes a video. They were surrounding the stall door and one was recording through the peek hole and they saw my bottom half, and after that I stood in the stall crying. Students are demanding immediate action to make the school safer. Dozens participate in a walkout carrying signs, pride flags, and shouting Trans Lives Matter. This one of the reasons I don't understand all the pushback on these kids. The kids are just gonna keep getting more and more activated the more y'all push back. If your whole goal is to make your kids as transphobic as you are, I don't know why you keep pushing it on, because this is gonna be symbolized with their rebellion. Like, I'm rebelling.
That's what they do.
We wanted just to be public. We wanted people to see and hear us, said Amber Olmstead, a senior who organized the protest. There's been a big pass of assault and homophobia in our school, and it just needs to come to an end, said Alden Peterson, a junior. In the wake of the protest, the school superintendent Carl Cartwright released a statement saying that along with the police, the school district is also investigating. So yeah, we'll see what turns out with that. And meanwhile, the victim says he spends his days at school terrified. I'm very uncomfortable, especially with boys walking around happy about what they did and stuff. I'm scared to walk everywhere I go into school.
Right,
I've had to have someone
your victim,
right next to
you're
me.
Around the people that victimize you,
right?
Because obviously they did not suspend it,
right? And I think a lot of this stuff is coming from the adults, and mm-hmm. I think in our environment, when the politicians are sitting around trying to pass bills that make being trans illegal and says it's like a horrible experiment and every study is, you know, this, that, and the other, you can't participate in sports, the whole thing is to other these kids. And it's sad because kids left to their own devices are typically much more inclusive than adults.
Yes, they are.
You know, we've all seen it with young kids. If there's a kid like, you know, my niece's basketball team, mm-hmm. there was a trans girl on the team, there wasn't no problem.
Mm-mm.
Like, the kids weren't even like explaining, like, can you tell me what? I'm just so confused. It wasn't that. It was just,
they were just having a good time. Nobody cared.
Right. They was telling us and shit. You know, like it wasn't a thing for them in that type of way. And I think it's the adults that kind of poison it and make it into a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's because like these kids and the stuff they're doing, that's not normal. And especially when you have places that try to pass bathroom bills and shit,
mm-hmm.
you know, like that's telling somebody they're a threat to you when they enter your bathroom. Those boys are under no threat. Even if in the bigoted way they see a trans boy, they would see a trans boy as a girl in their mind, in their bigoted minds. Okay, so a girl came in the bathroom. What was the threat exactly? So you're not threatened, really. You're the threat.
Right.
It's why whenever you hear this shit about Republicans always pass around these memes and shit online of like a giant man in a dress, hairy and strong and towering over a child at the urinal or some shit, like, this is what y'all gonna let in the bathroom? You know, they always do that to you. And even in that analogy, the fear is really of a cisgender man.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the fear is of men are dangerous.
That's exactly what they're saying.
So for someone who's trans who identifies as male to go into a bathroom for just all men, cisgender men as well, who's the one that's in danger? And from their actions, ganging up on somebody and making them show their genitals and shirt, that's not I was scared sign. That's just being told it's okay to other this person, it's okay to mock this person, it's okay to harass this person.
Yeah, and I know nothing will be done.
Nothing will happen to me.
Right. Right. Because if you knew there were consequences, you wouldn't do that bullshit.
Yeah. You know, and this is what the kids are dealing with. If the hate crimes went up under Trump, where you have fucking race crimes, gender crime, all this stuff, you have all this stuff go up. Stop Asian hate, all this shit goes up when the coronavirus hits and he starts all the anti-China rhetoric.
Mm-hmm.
All this stuff goes up and nobody goes, yeah, man, that would probably happen with trans people too. When he's kicking them out of the military, he's also sending a signal to all the other people in America, kids and adults alike, it's okay to attack these people. They're right. Not human.
And you know what? That means somebody's attacking them.
Right.
Just like when they go, no man knows a rapist, but you talk to most women they have been assaulted, sexually assaulted, verbally assaulted, some form of assault, but you ask a man, I don't know no rapist.
Right.
None, dog. Zero. Okay.
Boys brutally beat trans girl unconscious and they're still threatening her at school. A 15-year-old transgender student was viciously beaten by peers last Tuesday at Georgia's Pimblebrook High School. Shantae Payne had only been enrolled at the school for a month when her fellow students pummeled her to the ground and rendered her unconscious. Cell phone footage caught by classmates at the school showed two boys standing over Shantae and beating her while she's already on the ground. Other students crowd around but don't help her. Prior to the beatings, her attacker spent the week threatening her. On Thursday, she walks down the hall. One of the boys walks right by her, threatens her. Shantae's guardian, Blanche Payne, told 11 Alive News. They told her that if she comes back to school, we're going to drag her in the bathroom. Shantae's attackers have not pulled out of the school, and it's not clear whether they will receive disciplinary action. School administrators are currently investigating what happened. You have videotape and everything. What's to investigate? But okay.
Yeah, they don't care.
Blanche Payne is calling for their arrest. No one has a right to judge or attack someone because they're different. Mm-mm. Someone saying they are Shantae's cousin posted the video of the brutal beating on Twitter, calling for action against the attackers. I need y'all to share this wildly. My little cousin Shantae was jumped by a group of boys at her school on Tuesday, and the school's not taking any action to make it safe for her to go back, and then put the school's phone number. The school said administration is aware of the video and they're investigating it. Blah, da, 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 da.
I told you, wah, wah. I don't care, because when y'all want to respond to shit immediately, you do. You opt when you respond and when you move slowly.
She said her attackers continue to threaten her. She said, but people like me are judged every day. We're targeted every day. This is a hate crime. This happens all the time. It's swept under the rug. And me being who I am, I'm not going to let it go. I need to be heard because I have a voice just like everybody else, and I'm going to use it. Damn. Yeah, I mean, we shouldn't have to, a kid shouldn't have to be that strong.
Mm-mm.
Just straight up. And it's kind of sad, you know, that you get beat up, nothing happens to the people that did it. They're investigating and you have to be the one to carry that and go to school and face them the next day while they know that nothing's happened.
Right. It's one of these things where something happened, now I gotta be an advocate. And what's sad is that people expect that of people.
Mm-hmm.
Versus just saying, if you opt not to be an advocate, you should have that right too. And sometimes in certain situations, people will shame you and make something horrific happen to me. And now you're telling me that I have to be the one to advocate for myself, and I have to be the strong one. I have to stand up and I have to say that's not right. Sometimes I want to be motherfucking left alone, you know, and I've realized that with situations like this. And, you know, a lot of times people get thrust into shit just because something happened to them, and everybody ain't built for that.
Yeah. And, you know, putting on a brave face and stuff, I mean, I understand why, but mm-hmm. what choice do you really have in a world that's not going to protect you?
Right.
LGBTQ candidates won big in last night's election. In their victories, many of them also smashed through the rainbow ceilings and made history. Here are 10 wins. Danica Rome, Virginia. Danica Rome was reelected to the Virginia House of Delegates for a third term, will continue to be the country's longest serving out trans legislator. Rome defeated the anti-LGBTQ Christopher Stone, who was opposing marriage equality and adoption rights for LGBTQ couples. That's interesting too, because that's kind of the platform that the governor ran, that dude that beat Terry McAuliffe ran on.
Mm-hmm.
Gwen of Massachusetts, who came to America from Vietnam as a refugee when they were a baby, was elected to the Worcester City Council last night, becoming the first non-binary elected official in Massachusetts. Xander Orenstein, Pennsylvania, made history as the first non-binary person in the country to be elected to a judicial position. Orenstein was elected to Allegheny County Magisterial District Court in Pennsylvania. Damn, that's good. That's dope. Christopher Coburn, Montana, was elected to the Bozeman City Commission, making him the first out black person Montana's ever elected. Gabriela Santiago Romero, not only becoming the first out LGBTQ woman elected to the Detroit City Council, but also the first out LGBTQ Latina woman ever elected to the state of Michigan. Rebecca Maurer, Ohio, is the first out LGBTQ woman to hold a seat in Cleveland City Council. Dion Manley, Ohio, he won his race for the Gahanna Jefferson School Board, became the first out elected trans person in the state of Ohio. Dawn Adams, Virginia, Dawn was reelected to the Virginia House of Delegates and will continue her work as the only out lesbian delegate in the state. Andrea Jenkins, Minnesota. She was reelected to the Minneapolis City Council after becoming one of the first out trans representatives of any major city council in 2017. Let's see, New York City Council candidates, a record six LGBTQ candidates were elected. Last night, the winners were Lynn Shulman, Tiffany Cabine, Eric Botcher, Shai Osei, Kristen Richardson Jordan, and Crystal Hudson. And I think Shai Osei might be Combat Jack's child. So that's dope. And Shai is also the youngest person ever elected to the city council.
Oh, let's go.
So, you know, those are some victories, representation and whatnot, but hopefully in the way they govern as well. All right, let's move into some other news, because pretty much the rest of the LGBTQ news is bad anyway. We'll save it for another day. Let's see, what else did I want to talk about? Let's do a little bit of these niggas trying to steal the election. Trump looks back on January 6th finally and wants to settle scores over false election claim, new book says. Jonathan Carl's new book, Betrayal, released Tuesday, documents the historic presidential election, unprecedented claims of fraud, the January insurrection at the U.S. Capitol, and the stirrings of the novel COVID-19 virus that marked the final days of former President Trump's presidency. Opening with excerpts from a conversation with Trump, Carl chronicles Trump's feelings about his supporters targeting former Vice President Mike Pence during the insurrection. Well, the people were very angry, Trump said. The response, Carl says, derives from a sense of betrayal by those within Trump's inner circle. His next moves in the public sphere will be designed to make his erstwhile friends and allies pay the price for their betrayal, a plan that made Trump gleeful, according to Carl. So that's they man, and they he also said Mike Pence will go down as his in history as a pussy.
And it's your vice president, though. Didn't nobody pick him but you.
Cause he wouldn't overthrow the government, and Trump sent people to kill him. And I mean, in a way, I understand what he's saying, because I don't respect Mike Pence, because this motherfucker sent people to kill you and you still on his dick. Like, that's ridiculous.
Why would he respect you?
You know? Like, if a motherfucker talked that kind of shit and sent people to kill me, I think people would understand if I was out here like, man, fuck him.
Forever.
Like, this dude, the hold that Trump has on that party, I've just never seen anything like this.
But,
like,
right, it don't make sense.
I've never seen anything like this. It's so obvious they're on their last legs, and this is the hardest fight they're gonna have of their life. And they're unified and they're checked in a way that people that vote Democrat and people that claim to be liberal are not.
No. Nope.
Like, they're still playing games about this shit.
Right.
And they are just not.
They own it. They was like, we want our shit back. And, you know, over here they like, I don't know. I don't feel, my feelings is hurt. I don't feel like going to the park. It's raining. Oh, I'd rather be doing other shit. You know, we act like it's a to-do when they like, no, bitch, we ain't trying to give up our power.
Trump ally Bannon talks tough at the court appearance. Yeah, the thing for me is he got put on contempt charges for defying a subpoena from Congress. And he was like, all right, I turned myself in Monday. I said, damn, it must be nice. Like, I got some plans for the weekend, but I'll holler at y'all on Monday.
bright and early Monday morning, 8 a.m. I'll be there.
Nigga, go get his ass. What the fuck?
I would've.
Like, what do the government be on, man? Just go get his ass. What? They don't do that with nobody else. They just show up at your house like, come on with us.
Mm-hmm.
These motherfuckers, they like, we understand you're busy, but
schedule.
It's not too much trouble.
We'll come, you know, come back to brunch.
Yeah, it's not too much trouble. You know, we like to know when you plan on coming on in. I mean, we'd hate that to send a car, so, you know, it's really up to you.
We don't want to bash it too bad.
You know, we hope you don't wait too long, but like, you know, because, you know, people are watching. It's a little awkward, but yeah, we could just kind of get you to come in. It's not like we're going to hold you long. We just want to, you know, get you in, fingerprint you, you know, send you on your way. You know, you have a good day, man. Return a message whenever you get a chance. Thank you. This has been the government. I'm like, fuck you. But yeah, he came out and was talking mad shit.
Of course.
So, Capitol rioter who attacked the cop with a flagpole arrested after another riot suspect identified him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they getting these people telling it because they don't want to go to jail. They not actually about that life. It was a meanwhile on Instagram for them. They weren't trying to get no jail time.
Yeah, Gregory Lamar Nix, 52, was arrested in Cleveland, Alabama on Wednesday. And was charged with a slew of riot-related offenses.
Never heard of Cleveland, Alabama. Woo! That's in the middle of probably no fucking will.
Mm-hmm. I figured you hadn't heard of it and you would tell us. A criminal complaint said a person who was a subject
of... And neither have you! Don't act like I'm the only one!
I know, I just wouldn't have told everybody in the world how much joy I got from not knowing. Said a person who's the subject of an ongoing FBI investigation who minimized his or her own role in the events of January 6th identified Nix as a person who stormed the Capitol. Surveillance video allegedly captured Nix pounding a flagpole into the Capitol's East House doors on January 6th in an attempt to gain unlawful entry. They then assaulted a Capitol officer with the pole 6 minutes later. He then attempted to smash the East House doors, glass panes with a black baton at around 2:30 p.m. He then walked into the building. He's been charged with engaging in physical violence, in a restricted building or grounds, civil disorder, and assaulting, resisting, or impeding certain officers with a dangerous weapon. So, man, they still catching them. I love it.
Gotta catch them all, government. Mm-hmm. Get them.
These are new, like, the way they be doing Nazis, where they'd be like, this woman was 103, but she served on the janitorial staff at Auschwitz. I'd be like, get her ass.
They don't be fucking with them. They be going to get them.
Get her. I don't care what she did. She worked in the gift shop. Good. Bye. Bye, bitch.
They don't be care.
You shouldn't have been fucking around. Like, that's how I feel about these insurrection people.
She's
bye.
Still outside of the building. We don't care. Get them.
I love when they, and that's why I say I believe when I see these motherfuckers talking about, this person getting off light, I'll be like, I know they told on somebody.
Yes, that's why the sentence got lightened.
Like, they probably wasn't doing nothing. Not that it wasn't all bad and all serious, so, you know, don't get me wrong here.
Right.
But they probably wasn't doing nothing as bad as the ones that's coming up. But also, they know something. They was on them parlors and all that shit. They know them people.
Mm-hmm. Probably turned up all their records.
They met up. Oh, man. Hey, how you doing? My name's Bob. Oh, man. I heard so much about you. And they right there noticing. Like, you want to get this 2 years or you want to get this 5 years? His name is Bob. I met him at the front of the Capitol. He said, I'm going to kill that bitch Nancy Pelosi.
Here's a picture.
You need me to spell his last name? Fact check: deceptive Republican attack ad uses images for Trump presidency to depict chaos under Biden. Yeah, because ain't been no shit under Biden. Like, this is not to say there hasn't been no gross miscarriages of justice and all this shit, blah right. blah blah, but you ain't really seen motherfuckers in the streets. You ain't seen nobody looting and burning nothing, rioting, uprising, whatever words you want to use, I don't care, but they haven't, you haven't seen it. It's not like cops ain't killed nobody either.
Right.
You just ain't seen it as much. And they know that, unfortunately, that is a side product of having Biden in office and the initiatives and the pandemic and all the stuff they're trying to pass. So you're not going to have as much right now.
Mm-mm.
So they got to go to the old footage. And it's so funny and deceptive because it probably will work. Like, these white people be scared of shit. So all you gotta do is be like, yeah, you know, they was out there burning shit down. Yeah, and they like, they look like Cleveland from 1986. Don't worry about that. That man's wearing corduroys. Listen, the niggas are coming.
Is vote this 70 music and afro? What is what footage is this? Why is Martin Luther King in the background?
You need to vote Ted Cruz. The niggas are coming. I don't remember this ride. When was this?
All right. Why is it Woodstock music? Don't worry about the music. They're coming.
All these people got Jerry curls.
Right.
And Los Angeles Raiders jackets. What does this got to do with
right?
Alabama? Listen, do you want the niggas to take over or not? Are you right?
You right. I fuck them niggas. Okay, I'm down.
This what's going to happen when they abolish the police. Oh, God, I can't wait to get out the house. Proud Boys leader asked judge to reduce his sentence or put him on house arrest, claims poor jail conditions.
Go to the jail. Oh, now we're concerned about jail conditions?
I can't lie, man. I know jail is not supposed to be fucked up like this.
Mm-mm.
And it would behoove us all for jail to not be fucked up.
Agreed.
Okay? I think, if nothing else, because we definitely can't agree on, like, it shouldn't be no jails and shit. I guarantee we can't agree on that.
Mm-hmm.
But jail being super fucked up is, like, in addition to being abusive and dangerous, it's also the pettiest shit. Mm-hmm. It's so petty to make jail be fucked up, because right. We have so much money that goes into jail, and we still want it to be fucked up. We just want the warden to be rich and the person that owned the jail to be rich, but fuck everybody else, right?
Right.
But I do get a little joy, not a lot, just a little, every time one of these insurrectionists fuck around and find out jail is not where you want to be.
It's not.
What did you think jail was?
They had no idea.
That's all I'm asking. Like, is it because, like, right-wing people think they listen to Republican lawmakers who keep telling them that jail is great and we shouldn't, they have TVs in there.
What they think of Andy Griffin?
They in there eating three meals. You know, like, do y'all think it's dope? You're in jail, number one. Number two, you can't social distance in a pandemic. I don't know why anybody's fucking with crime right now.
Right. And then,
I don't want nothing to do with crime right at this moment.
And then depending on, you know, what jail you in, like, it's kind of different, you know, accordingly. So I'm good. And it's one of those things where they go, I can't freely move around. No, bitch, it's jail.
But like, they talk about, like, I can't believe I couldn't order the vegan meal. I'm like, niggas, what?
It's jail.
Have you never heard of jail?
Don't give a fuck about your
is this like habits? A black thing? Is it that black people live so close to the line, I don't have a choice but to know that jail is not a good place? I thought everyone knew jail, regardless of race and money stature. All of us know jail ain't shit in America. I've never seen a look how dope jail is, period, montage or TV show.
I think it's more of they never thought they would be in there. That's what it is. So who gives a fuck about the conditions when you never when you personally don't ever think that you're going to do shit to break the law? So because as far as you was concerned, that insurrection was not law breaking.
Because you
had the right to be in there. So, oh my God, why are you arresting me? I'm a law abiding citizen.
Because every day I feel like black people wake up and think this could be the day I go to jail for not doing anything wrong.
Not doing it. Just existing.
I could just end up in there. So it behooves me to know what the fuck is going on
and
in there.
Know the laws.
And like, I should probably be up on that. You know what I'm saying? Oh, it sucks in there. I don't want to go there.
Mm-mm.
And it's just like they never thought of jail until
now.
They was in it and it was like, wait a minute.
These conditions are horrible. Yes, bitch.
Y'all only got green jello? What is happening? What, excuse me, officer, excuse me, where's the private bathroom?
Mm-mm. Excuse me, officer, it smells like piss in here. Is anybody gonna come clean this up?
Right. Yeah, I was noticing, me and my roommate, we were noticing that the bunk beds are a little creaky on the creaky side, and the mattresses are a bit thin. Is there anything we can do about that? Can I, you know, like, when does room service come through to change the sheets and the mattresses? Because I like to request, like, maybe an extra mattress if that's okay. So now you're just gonna hit me over my head. All right. Okay.
It's kind of, you know, cold in here. Is there any way we can adjust, you know, the temperature a little bit? You know, can I get an extra blanket?
Yeah. We were just so glad you stopped by, officer. We were just saying, it's a little chilly. and we noticed that the cell windows doesn't really have, there's no thermostat, we can't really, you know, open or close it. So we were just wondering if maybe you could adjust the thermostat to, I don't know, 70, 73 degrees, you know, whenever you get around to it. No, I don't want to cause any problems. I don't want any special treatment for trying to overthrow the government. So just, if you could just handle that for us, thank you. Oh, you're just going to stick your baton in my mouth. Okay. All right. Well, I guess I'll take that as a hint and lay down. Thank you anyway.
I'll see you next round.
See you for breakfast. I'd like to get a room service call for breakfast if I could just get a wake up call.
You don't get a wake up call, all right, with everybody else. Get your ass up.
Right.
I would like to talk about the clothing. Instead of 4567 8321, can I have my name, you know, on the side? Why do we have numbers?
I hear what you're saying, and you know, and I get it. You run a prison, you gotta have a schedule. But I was reading when you did Lights Out last night, and I was in a really good part of the chapter of Harry Potter. And I'm just saying, could I maybe get an extra 20, 30 minutes or a nightlight or something? Because, you know, as I normally go to bed a little, I'm a night owl. You know? Okay. Oh, you're just gonna just slam me upside the head. Okay. All right. Well, I'll just go to the bathroom then. Oh, nope, there is no private bathroom. All right, well, I'll just shit in front of everyone. What the fuck did you think prison was? And this nigga is not even white, so I really don't understand him. You're the leader of the Proud Boys, you not white. And you can't do jail? What the fuck? He said sentence should be reduced and that he should be permitted to serve the remainder of it under house arrest, claiming he had been harassed by correctional staff and had been subjected to terrible jail circumstances, aka what everybody else did. He claimed that the foul toilet water from a nearby cell flooded his cell on a regular basis. I've been to jail before, and what I've seen there, I've never seen anywhere else. He said, wearing an orange jumpsuit and a mask over his face. This place needs to be shut down immediately. Oh, okay. All right, well, they should send you to a better jail.
It's only because you in there and I need to be shut down because you down.
Right. Immediately. Well, send him to a better jail. That's what I say. Why does he get to go to house arrest? We'll just send you to a different jail. Well, we'll send you to a 3-star jail. What the fuck?
Would you like to go down? I mean, we go to the 1-star. We can go to the 0-stars.
I'm sure jail sucks, and I'm sure it is terrible in there.
Right.
But yeah, very, very interesting how much we supposed to give a fuck because of who's in there now. Y'all didn't give a fuck when there was Rikers Island. Y'all didn't give a fuck when black people was in holding forever and,
solitary confinement,
people dying by suicide and shit. You didn't give a fuck about that.
Mm-mm. Putting them in the holes in the ground.
But God forbid a motherfucking Proud Boy has only one blanket. Now we got to put that shit on the front page. Fuck out of here.
Come on.
All right, let's move into some other news. Let's do, let's do some white people news.
Okay, yay!
You know, it's been a while.
White people news. We're bringing excellent to the barbecue. We might be problematic or a little bit grim. The sun's really hard on our fragile pieces. White people news.
White people news. The section where we talk about what white people is up to. And, you know, it's not as hard as the rest of this news we just told y'all about, LGBTQ news and all this racism and shit. Let's talk about some fun stuff. Elon Musk claps back at Bernie Sanders' taxation demand. I keep forgetting you're still alive. Wow. What the hell is wrong with Elon Musk?
I don't know.
Hey, girl. I just wanted to let you girls know that I'm a real messy bitch. I'm a messy bitch who lives for drama.
What did Bernie do to him?
He tweeted with a demand that the extremely wealthy pay their fair share of taxes. And Elon Musk quote tweeted and said, I keep forgetting you're still alive. He also told Twitter, want me to sell more stock, Bernie? Just say the word. Musk had just come off of selling nearly $7 billion worth of stock in the company he founded after asking his 62.5 million Twitter followers whether he should sell 10% of his shares and getting a resounding yes. He sold $5 billion of it after the poll earlier this week, and then another $1 billion that Friday, mainly to make a point about the proposed billionaire's tax being touted by congressional Democrats. A week ago, Musk had explained on Twitter that he doesn't earn a cash salary or bonus. I only have stock. Thus, the only way for me to pay taxes is to sell stock. To earn the income that will be taxable, he offered to sell 10%. Just 7 hours later, his poll had received almost 2 million responses, with 55% approving his sale proposal. The stock sale didn't stop activist and former Sanders staffer Melissa Byrne from defending her former employer with the tweeted words, "Folks, quit buying Tesla. Don't reward abusive men." Man, coming from Bernie. That's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
That, and then the forgot you was alive shit just, but you know what? My man Elon ain't never really been shit, so
he sure ain't.
I'll be a surprise to expect him to start being shit right now. I mean, he just pretty open about it. He's like, mm-hmm. I ain't shit.
Y'all go and back to work and make these calls.
People go out there and bought that fucking the coins and the NFT. They fuck with everything he do. He be starting them trends and they be right behind his ass. So mm-hmm. You know what can you say?
Didn't he make that car that looked like a mine?
Tesla.
A Tesla that looked like a Minecraft vehicle?
The truck,
yes.
Yep, he did. Mel Gibson in talks to direct Lethal Weapon 5.
What?
My man.
All the way back.
You can't stop him. You can only hope to contain him.
Come on. A pack full of niggas ain't never gonna stop this man.
Impossible white man indeed. Yeah, he got the blessing from Richard Donner family, I guess, who died this past July and have been developing a sequel with Gibson over the years. Now here's my question, and I think it's the only question that matters.
Mm-hmm.
If they do this movie, does Danny Glover come back?
That's a good question.
And if Danny Glover comes back, how do you explain working with Mel Gibson?
Right.
You know what I mean? Cause like, it's not like it's not a thing.
I know, he gonna be like, well, might as well just finish it, shit.
Like, I just, like,
I'm still alive to do it.
I think it's like, so Danny, do you ever hear about Mel's comments? It was famously about anti-Semitic, and he also threatened his ex, and he says he wanted to see her get raped by a pack of N-words. But now you're working with him in this film. How do you explain working with Mel Gibson in 2022 on this film after all this controversy?
You know, I'm open to the conversation. I think it really is something that I think is a little bit multifaceted and layered. And so, yeah.
Okay. All right.
That's a complete answer.
Disgusting. Rocker Sophia Urista filmed urinating on male fans on stage.
Who?
I've never heard this woman in my life, Karen. A rising rock star has been described as disgusting after she urinated on a male fan during a concert in Daytona, Florida Florida. I mean, honestly, that's how you say hello in Florida. Why is this news?
Oh no!
Call that the Florida greeting. Sophia Urista, the front woman for the New York-based cover band Brass Against, was part way through the performance at the Welcome to Rockville Festival when she told the crowd she needed to relieve herself. "I gotta pee and I can't make it to the bathroom," she told the crowd in the now viral footage, "so we might as well make a show out of it." The repulsive rocker 36 then brought a male fan onto the stage and instructed him to lie down before popping a squat on his face as she performed a rendition of Rage Against the Machine's "Wake Up." "Get my man with the can on his head ready, cause we're gonna bring him on stage and I'm gonna piss in this motherfucker's mouth! Ow! Rock and roll!" Well, it turns out a new golden rule might actually have been broken since the police report was filed.
Yeah, you can't do that.
I do have to ask, okay? Now, I'm not saying she should have did this. I think that's fucked up. But who files the police report?
I guess the venue? I don't know.
You at the rock and roll concert. Who was with the rocking until she started peeing on people? Was like, oh, fuck no.
Who's with the rocking? It was like, I can't roll with that. Stop. I'm here to rock.
As disgusting as I think this is, you either leave or you pull out your phone and record it. There's only two. I'm not gonna. We're not adding paperwork to this.
Right. And who's now, making this phone call?
And now to fill out these reports. I'm good.
Me too. I don't think I would have called either.
Yeah. Like, that was the end of transaction. She peed. We all went, yuck. And then we went home.
That's right.
You know?
We go, that bitch crazy. And everybody right. go home.
What a crazy, wow. What a crazy concert. Night. Yeah. Right? Yes. That's the end of it.
Did you see what that crazy bitch did?
I can't believe that dude let her pee on him. That's what I would say.
Right? Can you believe white people?
I can see if she peed on somebody unconsensually and they called the cops. Well, then yeah, absolutely call the cops. But nigga, who was injured by this? Like, unless you caught some spray, you good. Mm-hmm. I would have hung up if I was 911. Hey, I was at this venue and they, the woman peed, she asked someone to come on stage to get peed on. This man went on there with a bucket and she peed on him. Ma'am, it's a fucking pandemic. Do you have any real concerns? Do you have any crimes to report?
Right. Is the coronavirus assaulting anybody? If not, get off my phone.
Well, it was very indecent. Nigga, it's Florida. Everything's indecent.
Right?
That's honestly the nicest call I've gotten today. Please stop calling her. Daytona Beach Police spokesman Masad Bendayan said authorities received a complaint on the department's Facebook account. Oh, you snitch. About the urinary infraction and instructed the inflamed informant to file a report. I did get one like that and I told her to file a report and she did. He said, noting the criminal investigation division is still probing the incident. Well, I would be damned if I would spend any police resources following this shit.
Went to another city by now.
Indecent exposure could be a year in jail or $1,000 fine since it's illegal to expose his or her sexual organs. I mean, look, she didn't charge the dude for it. I say no harm, no foul. I mean, some people pay good money for that. Okay. I'm looking at the pictures of the woman. She's pretty hot. So that dude probably liked that.
That's probably his jam.
Yeah.
Oh, she's gorgeous.
That's probably his dream.
Pretty hell. Like,
this hot woman pissed on me at the rock concert. I mean, clearly by the time you get on stage with a bucket,
I mean,
into that.
It's consenting adults.
Yeah. If he got on stage with a bucket, I promise you that nigga was into
jam.
That. Because it's not like they said, make somebody get on stage. She said, I need to pee. And he was like, me,
pee.
Right. She was like, all right, I'll pee on you. He was like, yes. And ran down to like prizes, right? Prices, right? Come on down. He was like, yeah. He's like, yeah, guarantee you. He paid good money for that. So.
Well, then I see nothing wrong. Everybody was consenting.
Yeah. This isn't like R. Kelly peeing on people.
It's completely different.
It's totally different.
That was not consensual.
Speaking of peeing, Dwayne The Rock Johnson admits to regularly peeing into water bottles while working out.
What do you do with them water bottles?
I don't know.
People
he says
do that when they travel and shit.
He accidentally mentioned his big bottle of pee in a video he made while working out. Many people had questions about the post, but Dwayne is now speaking on the topic. This week he sat down for an interview with Esquire where he confirmed the allegations but wanted to explain. The Rock makes it very clear that he does not have just one bottle that he solely pees in. Instead, he uses an empty water bottle. It's not a water bottle that I've actually purchased solely for water that you wash and you clean when you're done using it. This sounds like white people not washing their legs level of like what, nigga? He's saying it's like, you know how it is. Like, no, we don't.
No, you throw it away.
The gyms Dwayne typically attends do not have bathrooms. What
kind of gym is this?
Okay, am I misunderstanding how rich works? How do you get so rich the gym now does not have amenities? I assumed there's a level of rich where, like, you know, everything's a bathroom, you know. It's like, actually, open this secret bathroom, you know what I'm saying? That's how rich you are. It's like, oh man, I gotta go to the bathroom. I'm glad you asked. That trash can, pull that lever, turned it to a bathroom.
Oh, they said in chat room some bodybuilder gyms don't have bathrooms.
Why not?
Right, it don't make sense.
What does that mean?
What, everybody in there just so steroid up that you don't have to piss? I don't get it.
Many people go to the bathroom. They felt the urge. However, the gyms he goes to do not have bathrooms. They're just bottles that I'm done using. Usually gyms that I work out don't have a bathroom, just hot, sweaty, and dirty. Okay, so then what happens to the bottles? So are the bottles in the trash? Is the janitor picking up trash cans full of pee? Nigga, get a bathroom. Since Johnson tries to stay pretty hydrated, he frequently fills up water bottles a few times. He also speaks on working out with his friend Kevin Hart. You go watch the full. Oh God, Rock, no, I didn't want to know this. This is not what's up.
You did not, we did not need this information.
Listen, if you need to pee, you do it the old-fashioned way. You get a fan out of the crowd and a bucket.
And squat over them.
And you just take a squat on stage. The old Florida hello. We call it the Daytona how do you do. And you just give them a little something. There's a lot of ladies that would love to be peed on by The Rock. I'm sure of it.
Come on. We wouldn't have no problems.
Will Smith tripped 14 times on ayahuasca with mother and went to tantric sex expert after splitting with Jada. Will Smith tried to fix his broken heart by tripping on ayahuasca 14 times. His new book, Will, Smith recalls how after splitting with wife Jada Pinkett in 2011, he sought out a shaman to give him the psychotropic tea and led him to through the visions it produces. Now after drinking it, he writes, I was floating deep in outer space. I was trillions of light years away from Earth. During his trip, he sensed an unseeable woman who he called Mother behind him. I could tell she'll never leave me, he writes. Then Smith reached a conclusion that would be a bad trip for his Hollywood handlers, management team, and maybe even his strange wife. If I'm this beautiful, I don't need number one movies to feel good about myself. If I'm this beautiful, I don't need hit records to feel worthy of love. If I'm this beautiful, I don't need Jada or anyone else to validate me. He ended up tripping 13 more times with Mother visiting him during 8 of them. The temporary split from Jada came after her 40th birthday. Smith put together a 3-day blowout. The idea for it appeared to him in a non-psychedelic vision 3 years before. In Santa Fe, New Mexico, he created a documentary about his wife's family, complete with audio recordings from her beloved late grandmother. He hired Jada's favorite artist to do a custom painting. New custom paintings. They were golf outings and hikes, and a lavish dinner reached via 20-foot-long archway filled with photos of Jada. After the meal, a screen lifted to reveal the night's surprise performance, Mary J. Blige. I was the perfect husband, he writes, but afterward, Jada said nothing about it, not a thank you, not a I loved it. Instead, she took a long shower and then told him to cancel the rest of the weekend plans. When he balked, she yelled, cancel it now, and called the party the most disgusting display of ego I've ever seen in my life. They didn't speak the rest of the trip or on the plane home to Los Angeles. Even a few days later, Smith writes that he finally told his wife, I retire from trying to make you happy. I quit. You go do you, and I'm going to go do me. He asked that they didn't want a divorce but needed time apart, writing the act of fulfilling each other's needs was a vampiric reactional relational model. So Smith went on a spiritual journey, traveling to Trinidad to relax. They then meeting with counselor Michaela Boom, who specializes, he writes, in tantric sexuality. Her first question to Smith is, what will make you happy? And he said, a harem. She asked him who would be in his harem, and he named a bunch of famous women. Cause he said he was stunned into silence, but then she was like, you're Will Smith, you know, come on. And he said, Halle Berry, Misty Copeland, and she asked more names and showed him some videos and TED Talks of the most dynamic, talented women across the globe. They came up with 25 women for his harem, though Smith doesn't name them all in the book. The couple eventually got back together, resorted to a less monogamous relationship as Jada's entanglement with singer August Alsina was revealed in 2020. So yeah, a lot of people been reporting these headlines, like he's been doing interviews for the new King Richard movie and just right. Telling people. It sounds like he wrote a book and then people take the excerpts.
Yes, and that like is breaking news.
Yeah, all right, yeah, well, that's him, whatever. Still not buying the book. Mm-hmm. No offense, my man Will, but that's not what I'm looking from the book.
Yeah, if you didn't think I'd do the audio book, I just want a free credit.
I know you, yeah, I mean, not audio, not nothing. I'm good. There's other books. Tina Turner is 81. She sues Simply the Best tribute actor for being too similar to her, despite nearly 50 years younger.
Come on, intellectual property.
Tina Turner.
She got insurance on her leg. She's like, the hell you will, not while I'm living.
She's suing a tribute act based in Germany for looking too much like her. The American singer, 81, is duking it out in court with Dorothea Coco Fletcher, aged in her 30s, who performs in an unofficial tribute show called Simply the Best. Turner's lawyers argue that Fletcher looks so much alike in promotional posters that fans mistakenly will think the real Tina is involved in the show.
Okay, so she's not associated with it.
I feel like this is definitely Tina shouting out her black don't crack.
Mm-hmm.
Being like, they might think it's me. It's like, you're 81 years old and
come on,
I'm saying, do I look like that couldn't be me? This is a picture. Tina's on the left and then Coco is on the right. This is performing. She definitely got the wig or the hair down.
Mm-hmm.
There's a picture of the Simply the Best tribute, and that's Coco. Now, I personally don't think Coco looked like her.
Mm-mm.
But it could be we black.
Because
It is that thing, like how white people can tell white women apart easy.
Mm-hmm.
I could tell, of course, black women apart, but
oh yeah,
I get confused with white women. White people don't tell black people apart good. They think
we all.
It's like how that JL Covan track on his album, he talks about how every kind of black dude could be a bouncer because white people scared of all black people.
Right.
So you could be 5'3", 400 pounds. They'd be like, oh shit, this. It's fucking D. Is Michael Clark Duncan? He like that? What?
Ah!
Like, sir, that is Stefan Urkel. I was like, I'm scared. That's all I know. The lawsuit is against Kofo Entertainment, a Germany firm that represents Fletcher and other tribute acts that imitate Elvis Presley, the Beatles, and Frank Sinatra.
Oh, so this is their thing. They just have people do imitations.
So now she getting sued, man. Well, it's good. It's definitely good advertisement for her.
Mm-hmm.
The woman who, there's nothing more flattering. If imitation is the highest form of flattery, then getting sued for infringement, it got to be the highest form of flattery for imitators.
Right?
You too good.
You too good at your job.
And here's their, I guess, who's this supposed to be? Dizzy Gillespie?
Elvis.
Elvis and her?
Mm-hmm.
And Tina Turner?
Yeah, that Elvis person. These are not like good. Elvis.
Only she... I guess that's why you gotta sue. She the only one that looked like she could pass for it.
Right,
Tina.
The rest of them are so all people go, well, I know this ain't Elvis.
If you're dating her, do you make her keep the wig on? Like, how does that work?
I have no idea.
You know what I mean? This is my wife, young Tina Turner. Oh, this nigga got game. He pulling 50-year age difference out of this woman. That man. I ain't never met nobody macking like this. Jesus. Yeah, man, I pulled out the crowd and said, listen, I'm gonna need you about 30 years, 40 years, 50 years younger if you want to be with me. And she did it. As long as she ain't signing no checks and contracts with Tina Turner as her name, I just don't see what the problem would be.
She good.
But that's just me. All right, let's get into some other news. I guess we can do some Guess the Race. They all love that hit.
What time is it?
It's time to guess the race. It's time to guess the race. It's time to guess the race. It's time to guess the race.
Guess the race. The game we go around the globe and we guess the race of the people involved in the articles that we find. And Karen plays along as well as the chat room. And everyone playing is racist. Round number one. Redbeard. The red-bearded burglar gets nabbed by cops near donut shop.
Oh, shit.
A resident arrived at their home located in some place in Albion, California. Upon arrival, the resident noticed the presence of a person crouched down beside an outbuilding near their residence. The person matched the physical description of William Evers, ran off into the wooded terrain, prompting a telephone call to the sheriff's office. Sheriff's deputies responded and searched the area during the morning and late afternoon hours. During the late afternoon hours, sheriff's deputies encountered William Evers from a distance, and he was able to successfully elude apprehension because of the terrain. Then the next day at 10 in the morning, three sheriff's deputies returned to the wooded area where they encountered Evers the previous day. The wooded area is part of Salmon Creek Forest, near a specific location commonly referred to as the donut shop. While searching approximately 300 yards downhill from the donut shop, two sheriff's deputies encountered Evers, who exited brushy terrain approximately 8 feet away from them. Evers immediately noticed the presence of sheriff's deputies and ran back into the brushy terrain from where he appeared. The sheriff's deputies chased after Evers, who was approximately 30 feet away, running fast-paced through the wooded terrain. One of the sheriff's deputies was a sheriff's officer K-9 handler, and they deployed his partner, Dakota, who gave chase. Dakota was a dog. Dakota bit into Evers' backpack and he kicked the dog, which caused the dog to disengage momentarily. Dakota was given verbal deployment commands and again gave chase to Evers, eventually knocking him to the ground with a bite to the lower leg. He was attempting to stand up and resume fleeing, and the officers wrestled him back to the ground in the handcuffs. He subsequently attempted to stand and flee while sitting on the ground in handcuffs. He was eventually escorted to a nearby patrol vehicle, placed in the wrap leg restraint system due to his history of non-compliance and assault behaviors. And he was transported to the sheriff's office. Karen, guess the race.
What was his name?
William Evers.
White.
Karen's going with white. Let's check the chat room and see what we believe. White says M. Nicole. White meat says Kojo. Kunta Kinte trying to save his foot black says K Can. Oh, no, black person is getting up at 10 a.m. to rob nobody. This is a white man. Man in the woods, white. All this fleeing and they ain't shoot him, white. Kick the dog instead of petting it, black. Great pyreness, white. They didn't shoot him, white. This is a running ass man, one of Miss Evers boys, black. The fugitive was hiking, white. The correct answer is white. Sorry, I hit the wrong button. So little technical difficulties trying to share my screen and I hit the wrong button. But about to show y'all the red bearded bandit right there. There he is. Now I do like that he's smiling in this picture. Like he didn't just get bit by a dog, talk all that shit, fight them officers. Seems to have a good disposition about him.
Like they found him in the woods.
Couple people missed it. All right, let's go to the next round. Wife defrauded husband of $600,000 over 20 years. East Haven, Connecticut. Police arrested a 63-year-old woman who they allege over decades forged her husband's signature on legal documents to defraud him of $600,000 in pension and social security checks and other monies.
Well, damn.
The fraud accusations were first reported to police in March 2020 when two people went to report a large-scale fraud. One was the victim, her husband, who told the police that his wife, Donna Marino, began stealing his money in 1999 and that she had control all of his finances during their time together and that he had no idea what she was stealing from him.
Wow.
An investigation found that Marino would forge her husband's signature on his pension checks, social security checks, worker comp settlement, and other legal documents before depositing the funds in a secret bank account without his knowledge.
Holy shit!
He was unaware of his wife's activities until it was brought to his attention in March 2019. He had taken time to consider his options and decided to file a formal complaint. Murgo said the investigation revealed that Marino fraudulently obtained power of attorney for her husband by having a friend who was notary public sign the legal documentation when her husband was not present. She then used her power of attorney status to fraudulently file taxes in her husband's name. He said that Marino herself told investigators that she was able to hide her fraudulent activities over the years by convincing her husband that he was suffering from Alzheimer's disease. Right.
Oh my goodness.
He's like, but I can fill out the taxes. Oh baby, oh, you have another episode. We talked about this.
Oh, and people really have to deal with that.
She believed that convincing him he had Alzheimer's disease would prevent him from going to the bank, ultimately to discover how low balances he had on his account. She pawned some of her husband's belongings, including jewelry and rare coins, without his knowledge or consent. She, you know, she had to be like, oh no, you remember you gave the coins away.
Oh, she was fucking with him.
You must have lost them. Mm-hmm.
Go back to sleep. Did he have any kids or anything? He must not have no kids.
I don't know. She told investigators that the mismanaged money was used often to help her other family members with things like rent, grocery, and car payments without her husband's knowledge or consent. Marino turned herself into the police headquarters as she's held on $25,000 bond. So, yeah.
Is they still married?
I mean, it says wife, not ex-wife, so.
Guess they ain't went through the process yet.
I mean, with what money? Can he even divorce her if she got right of power of attorney? I don't even know how that works. Guess the race though, Karen, before you get any ideas over there.
What's her name?
Her name is Donna Marino.
I'm going to go Donna Marino. White.
Right. Someone said her pussy fire, so she says, I mean, yeah, he'd be like, that's what she tell him when he catch her. Like, oh, you got some, what's going on my bank account? She's like, oh, no, my pussy fire. You just forgot. He's like, oh, okay. I guess it's okay for you to do me like this.
You want some juice, daddy? Daddy want some juice?
Right, you want some juice, honey? Quite white, city golden girl white. What's mine is mine, what's yours is mine, white. White, if they were black, they would have been together since 1999 but never married. Wow.
Oh no,
that's a white her tay. A nigga ain't got 600k to siphon for over 1,000 years, less 20 Paul White. They got pensions and bank accounts, they not GoFundMes and wishful thinking. White, bada bing, white Italian. The correct answer is white. I'm in. The Alzheimer's part is especially cruel. I mean, I guess good news, you don't got Alzheimer's, but
right.
You got a horrible wife. Man, wonder what happened that made her turn like that.
Probably because she know he wouldn't approve of her helping all her. I bet you they probably had fell out about that. No, you can't, you know, stop giving to your family members and shit. She was like, oh, well, I'll do it anyway.
Right. All right, let's go to the final round. Karen, so far is 2 for 2.
What time is it?
Triple the points. Triple the points. Triple the points. Triple the points. Triple the race. Points. Trip. Triple the race. Triple the points. Triple the points. Triple the points. Triple the points. Triple the race. Points. Trip. Triple the race. Triple the points. Trip.
That's right. It's the bonus round. Karen is 2 for 2. It triple the points, triple the race. You know, Karen, are you nervous about this going into the third round?
A little bit. Hopefully I'll get 100, but we'll see.
Okay. There's a lot of racism at stake right now.
I know, right?
And a lot of points.
It's known when I go down to the third round.
Okay. So you got to believe in yourself.
Okay.
All right. A man pleads guilty to choking officer who slipped on Cheetos. It's not easy being cheesy.
Apparently so.
A Wichita Falls man pleads guilty to assaulting a police officer who had slipped on Cheetos on the floor while trying to take a man into custody.
That's right. Augustine Trevino was given 5 years probation Friday. Back in June, officers responded to a domestic disturbance at an apartment at the Reserves on Maplewood and heard a woman crying inside. They say Trevino opened the door and told an officer, "You don't need to expletive be here," and tried to pull the door shut.
An officer then kicked the door open and during a struggle slipped on a pile of Cheetos that was on the floor. Trevino then got the officer in a chokehold and actually began squeezing to the point where the officer said he was about to black out. He yelled at his partner to use his taser on Trevino. He said when he said that, Trevino then released him. The officers forced Trevino on the ground and then finally got him in handcuffs. The officers do say that Trevino continued to struggle and resist all the way to the patrol car. Let's bring a little extra...
Damn. All right, Karen, guess the race of Augustine Trevino.
I'm going Augustine Trevino.
Sound like he had a chip on his shoulder.
I'm going to go white.
Okay, white. Looks like he had it in the bag. whiteness, Italian, a nigga would have been charged with attempted murder. White, it's not easy being cheesy. White, Cheetos, not Takis. White, they didn't say that they was flaming hot.
Come on.
They didn't specify it was hot Cheetos, so I say white, hot Latin blood, survive putting hands on the cop. White is white is white. Cheetos weren't flaming hot, so I say white. The partner was there, damn white. Had to ask for his partner to use a taser on that white man. The correct answer is white.
For the fact that they used the official weapon.
Yeah, now look, he could be some kind of brown, but he looked white to me. Mm-hmm. But you know, that Trevino isn't really giving me Latinx, so I'm gonna go white on this one. Mm-hmm. As well. So congratulations, Karen, you're 3 for 3. You did it.
Yay!
You was able to pull it off. No one thought you could do it, but you did it.
I know.
Sword ratchetness time. It's time to talk about these people that got swords out here, all unregulated and all this shit, and no laws and nothing we can doing about it. Just
they doing their own damn thing,
wreaking havoc on across the land. Nobody's saying shit.
Nobody.
Eureka Police put out this press release on October 25th around 1 a.m. Officers with the Eureka Police Department responded to an apartment in Eureka for the report of a male with a laceration to his stomach. Once on the scene, officers contacted a 40-year-old male who had a visible stab wound to his abdomen. Humboldt Bay Fire and City Ambulance responded and transported the male to the hospital with a critical injury. The male victim is now recovering. Initial statements on the scene suggested that the male had been stabbed in an unknown alley by an unknown suspect. However, after further investigation by detectives, it was determined that the male had been stabbed with a 2-foot-long sword by his roommate. So this is what happened. You got stabbed by your roommate, and you still want to protect him and get that half a rent, so you just trying to, like, mitigate. I was in an unknown alley, and an unknown person stabbed me for no reason. They was like, motherfucker, you know who stabbed you.
Right. This is an intimate crime, trust.
Either
you
that
know
or
who stabbed you.
Right, either that or as he was talking to the police, this roommate was over his counter wiping blood off the sword like, I don't know who stabbed him. And you don't know either, do you, Eli? I sure don't. Just please take me to the hospital.
I don't know anything.
You gotta stay out them alleys, boy, if you wanna be safe.
You right. I'm staying out the alleys.
40-year-old Dustin Scott Latham of Eureka inside the apartment is where he said he really got stabbed. And Dustin Scott Latham is what race?
White.
Karen's going with the white. The correct answer is white. You got the bonus round. You got the bonus round. Congratulations. You did it again, Karen.
Yeah. Got 3 full names. When all 3 of your names sound like first names, you white.
That's true. On November 3rd, there's never been anyone else that's done that.
Mm-mm.
Not Michael B. Jordan or anyone
right.
else.
All your names sound like you could be 3 individual people.
On November 3rd, not Michael Jeffrey Jordan, nope. November 3rd, 2021, detectives with the Eureka Police Department had a sudden burst of inspiration and said, Eureka! I know where he's at. They served a search warrant.
I know, all of a sudden.
They had an epiphany, and Latham was located inside and was placed under arrest for attempted murder. He was transported and booked into the jail. So, I guess all's well that ends jail. All right, y'all. We'll talk to y'all Saturday for our feedback show. If you're premium, we'll talk to you Thursday, cause we, you know, still have the sports show coming up. Mm-hmm. All right, y'all. I think that's it. We'll talk to you then. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Yeah.